Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SJS Enterprises Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Mehta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities, I welcome you all to this 4Q FY24 earnings call of SJS Enterprises. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. K.A. Joseph, Managing Director and Co-founder, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Mahendra Naredi, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Devanshi Dhruva, Head Investor Relations. So, as we do always, we'll start the call with a brief opening remark from the management, followed by a Q&A session. So, with that, over to you, Devanshi. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronak. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for being with us over the call today. We appreciate it. Moving on, this is how we intend to take today's conference call forward. I will pass on the dais to Mr. K.A. Joseph, our MD and Co-founder, who will make his opening remarks. Then he will hand it over to Mr. Sanjay Thapar, our CEO and Executive Director, who will take you all through some of the slides of our presentation that has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on our website. Sanjay will take you all through the industry view, our business performance, and also give a strategic outlook for the future growth of the company at the end. Mr. Mahendra Naredi, our CFO, will update you all on our financial highlights, post which we will open it up for Q&A. Thank you once again, and I will now hand it over to Mr. Joseph to make his opening comments. Over to you, Mr. Joseph.
Yeah, thank you, Devanshi. And hello and good morning, everyone. I trust you all had a chance to look at our investor presentation and the results published yesterday. While Sanjay and Mahendra will take you through the presentation later, I would like to quickly share some updates with you all. In CY24, the overall business scenario in India has been robust, with the country being one of the fastest-growing major economies, achieving a remarkable growth rate of 7.8%. While the global economy continued to face headwinds and geopolitical disturbances, high inflation, and tighter monetary policies, we have had some impact on businesses. The domestic economic activity continues to expand at an accelerated rate, supported by increased consumer spending, strong domestic demand, and consumption in our industry. During the year, we have completed the transformative acquisition of Voltapak India. The Voltapak acquisition has opened up a plethora of new opportunities for us. With this acquisition, we have penetrated deeper into the passenger vehicle segment and consumer segment as well, thereby further reducing our two-wheeler dependence. As a result, in FY24, we saw a balanced contribution from passenger vehicle, two-wheeler, and the consumer segment. Now, coming to some of the key updates, for the 18th consecutive quarter, SJS has delivered a better-than-industry growth, primarily on the back of Voltapak acquisition, coupled with the strong performances across segments. I am pleased to inform you all that in Q4 FY24, Voltapak saw a strong recovery in its business as key OEM volumes picked up. EBITDA margins reached 25.5%, a significant increase from 20.4% in Q3 of FY24. The order intake for Voltapak also has been substantial, reinforcing our positive outlook on Voltapak's growth trajectory. Furthermore, Exotic recorded EBITDA margin of 18.1%, underscoring our commitment to operational excellence and profitability. I'm also delighted to announce that for the fourth consecutive year in a row, our company was recognized as a Great Place to Work in the mid-size organizational category, highlighting our commitment to excellence. Last but not the least, I am very happy to inform you all that as a reward to our long-term shareholders, for the first time since our IPO, the board of directors have recommended a final dividend of 20% on the face value. As we move forward, we remain focused on delivering quality products to our customers and building long-term relationships with all our stakeholders. We are dedicated in advancing innovation, maximizing efficiency, and strengthening core businesses, while also looking into new prospects of markets for growth. With that said, I would like to now hand over the call to Sanjay to take you all through some of the businesses and industry highlights for the quarter. Thank you, and over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Joe. Hello and good morning, everyone. Talking of Q4 and this financial year gone by, Q4 FY 2024 was marked by yet another quarter of better-than-industry performance by SGS, with a consolidated revenue growth of 75.3% year-on-year to 1,867.9 million rupees, compared to 22.8% YoY growth in the automotive, two-wheeler, and passenger vehicle production volumes. This growth is primarily attributed to the successful integration of Voltas India, along with the enhanced performance of our businesses in the passenger vehicle segment, consumer business, and exports. During the quarter, automotive business has grown well for us, both in the domestic markets at 75.6% YoY and export markets at 40.3% year-on-year. On back of robust margin performance delivery, both by Voltas and Exotec, I am delighted to share that the consolidated EBITDA margin for the quarter improved 70 basis points quarter-on-quarter and 147 basis points year-on-year to 26.2%. At the end of quarter four, FY 2024, the company generated strong cash flows of 756.2 million rupees, and our overall cash and cash equivalents stood at 520 million rupees. Our net debt reduced to actually 163.5 million rupees on account of our very strong cash flow generation. In terms of production volumes, the two-wheeler industry grew by 26.4% year-on-year in Q4 of FY 2024, with SGS's consolidated two-wheeler sales outpacing this growth at a growth rate of 44.3%. The passenger vehicle segment experienced even more significant growth, with a 105.3% increase over the same period, surpassing the industry's growth of 9.7%. This remarkable growth in two-wheeler sales was primarily due to new business acquisitions, while the growth in the PV sector was largely attributed to a recent acquisition of Voltas India, which has expanded our PV business within the automotive segment. Overall, SGS in Q4 FY 2024 consolidated automotive sales saw a substantial year-on-year increase of 73.5%, with organic growth from SGS and Exotec's automotive business at 35.3%, again higher than the industry growth rate of 22.8% during the quarter. Simultaneously, for FY 2024, automotive industry, two-wheeler and passenger vehicle grew by 9.7% year-on-year, while SGS consolidated automotive revenue grew by 38.3% year-on-year, demonstrating around 4x industry growth rate, and organic growth was at 19.7% year-on-year. I am extremely delighted to announce that for the full year FY 2024, SGS has achieved its stated guidance of 45% revenue growth and has exceeded its 30%+ PAT growth, excluding amortization expenses. Revenues at 6,278 million grew 45% year-on-year, primarily on back of Voltas acquisition and the strong performance across all business segments. EBITDA grew 36.9% year-on-year to 1,599 million, and with an EBITDA margin of 25.2%, and our PAT grew 26.9% year-on-year to rupees 853.7 million, with a PAT margin of 13.6%. Our PAT, excluding amortization expenses, grew 37.1% to rupees 921.8 million, with a PAT margin of 14.7%. The growth prospects in the TV segment are promising, especially post the Waterpack acquisition. Waterpack is India is proficient in IMD, IMF and IMD advanced technologies, generating almost two-thirds of its revenue from passenger vehicle segment. Our strategy to diversify across various product categories and multiple industry segments, coupled with our very strong, broad customer base, has effectively helped us mitigate the impact of industry slowdowns in specific areas and regions during the year. On the exports front, we have seen significant growth of 57.2% year-on-year during the quarter. Overall, for FY24, we saw robust growth of 51.1% in exports to Rs. 483 million. The increase in export revenue this quarter is primarily attributed to the gradual recovery of revenues from North America and Europe. Our export initiatives are progressing steadily. Additionally, we have appointed a sales agent in South Korea to further enhance our presence in the East Asia region. We continue to expand the share of wallet by winning new businesses from key customers like Mahindra, Tata, Skoda, Stellantis, Gabriel, Whirlpool, Honda Motorcycles, TVS, among many others. We've also added Minda Vast as a new customer, and I hope to strengthen our relations with them even further. Before I hand over to Mahindra, I would just like to give you a quick update on our ESG and the CSR front. On the ESG front, our company is making great efforts to reduce our carbon emissions. Hence, we are in the process of adding around 6 megawatts of captive solar power across our facilities. This strategic move is expected to yield cost efficiencies while significantly reducing our carbon footprint. It is noteworthy that our Bangalore facility already meets around 95% of its energy needs through renewable sources. We are now extending this sustainable energy initiative to our other facilities, aligning with our commitment to environmental stewardship. Almost 75% of our consolidated power energy requirements across all facilities will soon be met by green energy. At SAS, we are also committed to fulfilling our corporate purpose while delivering long-term benefits to society. With regard to our environmental, social and governance metrics as essential for assessing our success, our ESG principles are formally integrated into our board's governance framework, guiding our organization towards sustainable growth and protecting stakeholder interests. Through our corporate social responsibility programs, we strive to contribute positively to the societal well-being. Furthermore, our ongoing efforts in diversity, equity and inclusion have achieved substantial progress in enhancing our organization culture. It is satisfying to note that all our contributions for CSR activities throughout the year are helping improve lives of thousands of people and the environment in a positive manner. I would now like to hand over the call to Mahindra, our CFO, to update you all on the SAS financial performance before I come back to talk on our future growth outlook. Over to you, Mahindra.
Thank you, Mr. Thakur. Good morning, everyone. Let's delve into the financial snapshot. Slide 12 to 15 providing concise overview, with slide 14 focusing on the organic performance of SAS and Exotech, and slide 15 presenting the consolidated pictures including Waterpack India. In Q4, our consolidated revenue reached ₹1,867.9 million, showcasing growth of 75.3% year-on-year. This robust performance is attributed to the inclusion of Waterpack India addition and strong contribution from passenger vehicle, consumer segment and export business. Organically, our revenue grew by an impressive 35.9% on YoY basis, much higher than the industry growth. Moving to EBITDA, we achieved ₹495.3 million, marking a YoY growth of 82.2% with a margin of 26.2%, improvement of 70 basis points quarter on quarter. In quarter four, EBITDA margins was mainly driven by Waterpack India's significant jump from 20.4% in quarter three FY24 to 25.5% EBITDA margin in quarter four FY24. Excluding Waterpack India, organic EBITDA for SAS and Exotech stood at ₹372.5 million, boasting a healthy margin of 25.5% and a YoY growth of 37%. EBITDA margins have shown a positive trend, improving by 75 basis points YOY, primarily due to superior margin performance of Exotech at 18.1%. Our consolidated PAT for the quarter stood at ₹271.8 million, demonstrating a robust YOY growth of 76.6%, with PAT margin standing at 14.5%, improving by 11 basis points YOY and 156 basis points quarter-on-quarter, primarily due to higher EBITDA margins. Organically, PAT growth stood at 48.5% YOY to ₹228.4 million, with a healthy margin of 15.8%. This growth was driven by higher EBITDA, offsetting the impact of lower other income and increased finance costs. Our full-year FY24 performance has already been mentioned by Mr. Thapar, that we are extremely happy to inform you that we have achieved our guidance of 45% of revenue growth and 30% of PAT growth, excluding amortization expenses on the intangibles. Our consolidated ROCE during the quarter stand at 20.4% and ROE return on equity at 15.2%. ROCE was lower due to Voltatech India acquisition, and this will improve gradually over a period of time and with better utilization of investment over next 1 to 2 years. At the end of FY24, the company achieved robust free cash flow of ₹756.2 million and our cash and cash equivalent reached ₹520 million. During the quarter, SJS for the first time had raised the long-term debt and our net debt increased to ₹683.4 million due to Voltatech India acquisition. However, as promised you to all, that significant portion of the debt will be repaid or adjusted by the cash by the end of FY24. So now our net debt level stands at ₹163.5 million, reflecting our strong cash flow performance. The existing debt levels are mainly for working capital requirements. With the acquisition of Voltatech India, we are becoming more future-ready as our new generation products contribution increased to 25.2% of our consolidated revenue during FY24 from 9.4% in FY23. Voltatech India acquisition has effectively balanced our portfolio across two-wheeler, passenger vehicle and the consumer segment in the right manner. During FY24, export recovered in a strong manner and witnessed growth of 51.1%. YOY basis to ₹483 million. FY24 exports constitute 7.7% of total consolidated sales. Both Exotech and Voltatech are primarily domestic business and hence export as a percentage of consolidated sales is at 7.7%, while export are 12.7% of SJS standalone sales. I would now like to hand back the call to Thapar to discuss about our future plans and growth outlook.
Thank you, Mahendra. Moving to our outlook for future growth. In FY24, our company has significantly outperformed the industry growth rate thanks to our strategic initiatives. We are set to continue this trend, growing at least 1.5 times faster than the underlying industry growth. We already have visibility of over 85% of our FY25 order book in hand. This success is driven by a broad market reach, diverse product lines and very strong partnerships. Our strategic acquisitions have increased our current content per vehicle in passenger vehicle segment over tenfold in the past 2 to 3 years, establishing us as a key supplier to the four-wheeler segment. In FY24, we have delivered on our commitments, driving substantial growth. We remain focused on enhancing product aesthetics, expanding globally, and maintaining a strong margin profile, solidifying our market leadership. We have been continuously defining and delivering on our growth strategies, and this is reflected in our robust financial performance. We are optimistic and extremely confident that we are moving ahead in the right direction. With a formidable array of products in our arsenal and diversified customer base, we will consistently keep outperforming the industry. With that said, I come to the end of my quarterly updates. Thank you, and now we are open to questions, if any.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a strong set of numbers. Sir, consumer segment now contributes 20% of revenue and you have won many.
Sorry to interrupt. The current participant has been disconnected. The next question is from the line of Amit Hiranandani. Please go ahead.
Many congratulations to the SGS team for a strong set of numbers. Sir, my first question is basically, if you can please help me with the Exotic and WPS FY24 revenue EBITDA PAT number and the total capex for FY25 and 26, including all the expansion related capex for WP and Exotic, please.
Thanks, Amit. We already have disclosed our organic sales. Particularly, you asked about Exotic. For the quarter, Exotic is 44 crore rupees. We have a revenue, and for Voltapack, we have 48.5 crore rupees turnover.
Sir, for FY24, full year?
Full year basis, for Exotic we have achieved 156 crore rupees and Voltapack full year, because Voltapack is only for consolidation for 9 months. So full year basis, for 9 months basis, 119 crore rupees.
And so similar EBITDA number can you share for both the companies?
Yeah, we will not able to share the EBITDA number. We given the sales numbers for your better understanding.
Sure, sure. Sir, total capex for FY25-26, including expansion related?
So for the next year, capex, like we already said, we will have our maintenance capex, plus we will invest into the our expansion, especially for the cover glass as well as for plating shop. So we expect that in this current year, FY25, we will do a capex of in the range of around 60 to 70 crore rupees. But if I talk about for a larger, for a 2 or 3 year basis, the capex would be in the range of 160-170 crore rupees.
We see a lot of traction in our business requirements from customers, and also the new opportunity on cover glass that we are working on. So primarily it is all related to this huge growth opportunity that we see for the company.
And sir, for the FY25, 70 crore capex, can you break it down, please? Like, where we are going to spend it on Exotic and WPI?
Broadly, you can say maintenance capex in the range of 20 crore rupees, and the rest will be for expansion.
Okay. And sir, this my second question is on the cover glass side. So if you can help us understanding more about the cover glass, what is the industry size or opportunity, how much it's presently getting imported, what steps we are taking to increase the production, target customers, and you know, how much revenue is possibly we can achieve annually for this cover glass.
So as we said in our earlier calls, so this is a progressive adoption of the integrated display screen in cars. So as we said earlier, this is going to be, this is still at a nascent stage. This business adoption is happening. Currently, all the cover glasses and all the center stack displays that you see are imported. So it is difficult to give you size of the market currently because it would depend on the adoption rate by the OEMs. But largely, let me explain to you, already you would have seen many cars in the country with these large display screens. Of course, depending on the category of the car, you have a larger or a smaller screen. But what seems to be clear is that the direction OEMs are headed and what is demanded by the end consumer is a display screen which can have all the driver information at one glance. And that is the business that SGS is focusing on. So we will not make the display screen per se, but we will make the cover glass that comes on top of it, which give you some very special properties like anti-reflection, anti-glare, anti-fingerprint. So it's a very critical component, and the market is still evolving.
Hello, Mr. Amit. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So just last one question. Like, is there any further surprise possible in the Exotix margin for the coming 1 to 2 years?
Surprise, I would take it that you want positive surprises, right? So we've always maintained a guidance that Exotix is a plating business. While we are a very efficient company, we try to reduce inefficiencies to the extent possible. Our guidance always has been that we will be around 15-16% margin for Exotix. We've outperformed that expectation this quarter, but then the normal expectation from this business should be in the same region of 15-16%. So I still maintain that guidance, though of course our efforts are to keep improving.
Okay, sir. All the best. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on a great set of numbers. I just had a few questions. So the first one being on the exports opportunity. So how do you look at exports from WPI and Exotix?
I think we are extremely optimistic. The reason being that the product portfolio that we had earlier at SGS was primarily two-wheeler focused. But with Walterpak, we have IML, IMD, and chrome-plated parts at Exotix. And all these are products that are actually used by all OEMs globally. So we are in discussion with customers across the world, and we are extremely optimistic of the prospects of exporting these products.
Okay. And the next question on the raw material costs in case of the standalone business, right? So the RM costs have gone up 320 bps quarter on quarter. So is there any specific reason attributable to the same, and what would be your guidance going forward?
Not really. So fundamentally, quarter on quarter, depending on the product mix, the RMC would change a little bit here and there, but nothing very significant. And specifically in this quarter, we made a provision for some slow-moving stock that we have, because we make a large amount of variants in the company, so close to about 7,000 SKUs, and the customer demand sometimes changes, so these go as some spare parts at some point in time, but as prudent management, we do make a provision for slow-moving stocks that we have in our inventory, so this is a routine provision made. That is accounted for this RMC increase, or marginal, very small increase that you see.
Okay, got that. And lastly, on the opportunity in case of the optical cover glass, right? So how do you see revenue panning out in the next 2 or 3 years? What will be the size of the plant, and how much revenue do you aim to clock out of the same?
So fundamentally, our view is that all cars in India will have an optical display. Now, what is the time frame which will happen? Depends on the adoption rate by the OEM. The price point of this display could vary depending on the size of the display. So I would imagine that from a cover glass content would be roughly from maybe 700 rupees a vehicle to go up to close to about 4,000 rupees a vehicle. So depending on the size of the display and the complexity of what they want. So therefore, that is the broad guidance I can give you. How strong, I mean, you can do your math. It's a very, very sizable market. We are engaging with customers for more than 2-3 years now. Prototypes have been given. So we are in this process of winning this business, which we've said in an earlier call. Over the next quarter or 2 quarters, we hope to win this business. We have earmarked investments for a new facility that we will set up for this cover glass, and we expect this to be a very significant growth driver in the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay, that answers all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a very good set of numbers. So I have two questions. One is on Exotech. So you mentioned that the capacity plan for the year is around 60 crores. But during our earlier interactions, we mentioned that Exotech's capacity needs to be improved, and current capacity will run for about 200 crores of revenue. So when are we planning on a decent expansion in that space? That's point number one. And point number two, since we are guiding for a 15%-16% kind of margins, what exactly is sustaining this 18.5% or 18%+ margins for 3Q and 4Q? Those are the two questions on Exotech. I have one more on the standalone business.
So Exotech, as we said, we see good traction. We see a large export market. As I said, this was a business that we acquired 3 years ago. We've increased revenues, we doubled in revenues, we increased EBITDA margins, so we've done everything that we could. We have a legacy set of customers that we need to serve, which we are serving. And what I've said is, what will drive EBITDA margins moving forward is going to be the export market or the new customers that we acquire, which will benchmark selling prices to what exists in the export markets. The realization in export markets for chrome plating parts is much higher. So till the time that becomes a reality and a significant part of my Exotech sales, I am a little shy to give you a guidance beyond 15-16%. Now, as a manufacturing-focused company, we focus on lean. We constantly focus on driving down waste and muda from our businesses operations. So operational efficiency focus is what has driven margins in the last quarter. There's nothing, no secret sauce to it. We just work hard to make sure that we reduce rejection, we increase throughput, and we optimize the utilization of existing capacity that we have. So that's what we've done and which we'll continue to do across all our businesses. We are very closely focused on profitability and we monitor it very, very carefully. I'm sorry, there was another question saying when will capacity at Exotech come on stream? Is that the question?
Yeah. So will this be enough for the capacity expansion, the 60-70 crores for the year for Exotech?
Yes. So we have, 2 years ago, we acquired a piece of land where we said that we are going to expand capacity for Exotech because we saw very bright future and demand from customers. But after the acquisition of Waterpak, we announced to the market that we are going to club the requirements of both these companies and do frugal investments. So that is what we are doing. Creatively, we've unlocked capacity by better capacity utilization, and then we have also mopped up or entered into partnerships with some plating companies nearby to our plant where we have utilized their spare capacity. So we have the marketing strength and the wherewithal. We maintain a very tight supervision over quality. And we have been able to add supplementary capacity without really spending money. So that's, I think, the smart way of doing this business. But we will, in this year, also invest in another plating line for Exotech, which will be very well cost engineered. And that is what we are working on for the current year.
Got it, sir. That's helpful. The other question I had is on SGS standalone margins. Sir, you mentioned about this RM provisioning. And if I go back, in 4Q FY23 also, we had a lower margin. So is it a seasonal 4Q phenomena where we try to write off some of the products where we are not seeing good movement? And then we see a bounce back in the subsequent years. Should that be the case? Or how should we read that margin dip and going forward?
So, Frederick, that is not something usual. It is depending on the facelift by the customers. And yes, in quarter four, the two-wheeler customers have a facelift and henceforth we have created this provision. So it's not as usual. It's not something that belongs to the quarter four. It's depending on the strategy of the customer. And I would say it is a kind of a one-time in this quarter.
Okay. So you were talking about this moving into spares, which means that 1Q can be slightly better than the usual run rate of margins.
No, so let me clarify. We don't sell spares to the aftermarket. When I talk of spares, we sell it to the OEM. So what happens is that with the population of vehicles on the road, there is a demand that the OEMs have for their spare part requirements. So nothing goes obsolete. Now they have sporadic requirements of a blue color, a red color for model A, model B, model C. So we don't scrap this material per se, because somewhere or the other something is utilized, but not everything can be utilized, so that's why we provision for it.
Got it, sir. And just slightly longer term visibility on the margins. If I look 2 years ago, we were doing 31%, then came to 30%. Now we are at 29%. So I know it's marginal movements, but will the trajectory continue like a 1% kind of for steady state margins or 30%, let's say 2-3 years online for standalone SCS?
So what I maintained for forever is really that don't look at us as some of the parts. So we have an integrated strategy. There is a rationale behind acquiring Waterpack and Exotech. There are some products and some processes that are fungible. We can offer a customer product A, product B. So depending on the competition intensity, depending on the price point or expectation of the customer, we offer one or the other. So I know that you analysts would like to analyze it slice by slice, but think of it obviously as a larger company. So on a larger perspective, what I've said is we continue to drive growth, outperforming the market, and maintain an EBITDA margin of close to 25%. So that is what I have stated on many occasions, and we are absolutely on track demonstrating performance on the same lines.
Understood, sir. That's very helpful, sir. And again, congrats on a good set of numbers. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear.
Yeah, sir. Now the consumer segment contributes around 20% of revenue, and you have won many business in all three segments. So if you can throw some more light on the new business win in the consumer segment, and how would be the revenue mix in the coming years?
I had a little difficulty hearing you because of an echo on your end, but what I understood is that you want to understand what is driving growth in the computer consumer segment. Is that the question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Consumer segment, what are the new business win?
Yeah, okay. So what we have done is that we've added Reliance as a customer. We have acquired Lee Grand business as a part of our consumer-facing businesses thanks to the acquisition of Waterpack India. And we've added a complete new vertical. So consumer electricals was not a part of our consumer business. So we've added that, and that has given rise that consumer today accounts for 20% of our sales pie. In addition to that, we've added Reliance, as I said earlier. We supply some products to them in large numbers. We've added Electrolux business for exports. We are doing Atom work, new business. So many new business wins for the consumer segment this year.
And the current revenue mix is around 20%. How would be the mix going ahead?
So I am happy with the mix that we have. So we are 36% for two-wheelers, 35% for four-wheelers, and 20% for consumer. So I think that's a very good mix, and it will continue to be the same. The consumer business could increase by about 1-2%, or these businesses could move 1-2% depending on the overall scenario of how what customer starts taking what products earlier. But I would assume that we are looking at secular growth across all these segments. And largely this pie, I am very happy with. From where we were 70% skewed on two-wheeler business in FY 19-20, so to come to this stage, I think is very gratifying for us.
Okay, sir. And in Axiotech, the current revenue run rate is around 42.5 crores on a quarterly basis. So, and your total revenue at a peak revenue capacity is around 250 crores. So when you would be able to achieve 250 crores kind of the revenue on an annual basis?
No, so we are growing very strongly. As I said, we have debottlenecked that plant by doing some partnering with some companies. We are going to invest in a new line. So I would imagine that this will come sooner or later. We don't really chase targets. So it is the customers who are after us to give them products. So we see a healthy pipeline, and growth will continue on the same trajectory as it has done in the past. So we are quite prudent in our forecast, and we feel that we will continue to grow much faster than.
So are we able to achieve a run rate of 50 crores on a quarterly basis in a near term?
So you are talking in terms of capacity or in terms of order book? Revenue. So revenue is a function of what new models get launched. So we are forever discussing and adding new businesses. So we will certainly reach that target. When will depend on what is the, how does the market pan out.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I may request Mr. Abhishek to please follow up in the question queue for further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Filoke from Ratnatarya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on a strong set of numbers. Yeah, I just had a couple of questions. The first one being, could you remind us what our current customer concentration is, including the impact of WPI? So approximately what is top 5 customers, what is top 10 customers, including WPI?
We don't give out the list of customers, as you can understand, for obvious strategic reasons. But what I can tell you is some percentages. So Devanshi, you can just fill that in, please.
10 customers would be somewhere around 70 to 75% of our consolidated revenues. But in terms of customer-wise, we will not be able to share any kind of, you know, details in terms of which customer, how much percentage.
Correct. Not customer-wise, but top 10 customers, including WPI at a consolidated level for the quarter, were around 70-75%. Is that right?
70-75%, yes.
And could you share the same number for top 5?
The largest customer, Devanshi, you can call out as in percentage terms, that was no more than so much, no?
Yeah, so largest customer for us on a consolidated level is not more than 14-15%. So that has also, that concentration has also come down from earlier, which was around 20%. Now it has come down further to around 14-15%.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Just one last question. Would love to hear the management's views on sort of the two-wheeler market overall. What are you looking at? How should we think about the medium term? Or for the overall market, where do you think it's headed? That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, so the two-wheeler market has shown some resurgence in the last quarter. So there is a good uptick of demand. Rural demand has come back. So companies are again optimistic. But on overall basis, so it remains to see how the market pans out. But we imagine that 8 to 10% growth is what is likely moving forward. That's the market growth. That's the market growth. We, of course, will grow faster. So what we've been maintaining is we'll grow at least 1.5 times of the market growth rate.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush Nahar from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the great set of numbers. So my first question was, apart from this industry growth that we're expecting, can you elaborate on which segments or which products would give us the extra leg of growth in the coming 2 to 3 years? And my second question was on the competition, looking at the attractiveness of the industry. Do we see any competition in terms of our competitors providing a better, a bigger basket of products like us, or are we still maintaining our market position?
So our market position, as I've maintained, is extremely unique. So there's no company in India or no companies overseas also for that market who has all the technologies and products that we have under one roof. And we are a design to delivery company, so that that maintains what it is. The second part of the question was, where will growth come from in the next 3 to 4 years? So the point is, we will grow our cover glass business. That is expected to be a very significant part of the increased sales that we will do. The new technologies that we've got, that water pack, IML, wheel caps, logos, 2D, emblems. So all those are new products which have, and these products have large export potential as well. So we are exploring that business. Exotech, both the painting business and the chrome plating business, we see a very, very strong demand. This is all in addition to whatever we currently do at SES. So as I said earlier, we see demand growing in all areas and all segments of our business. But I called out these products because they are new technology products where we have a pole position, and we hope that they will grow strongly. But then this is a function of what is the offtake by the customers, what is the adoption rate. But then that's normal business for us. So we have a very strong portfolio of products and technologies which can give us very strong growth in the coming 3 to 4 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Advan from Prat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So my first question is on water pack. Water pack in the first 3 quarters used to average around 35 crores of revenue ballpark. And in the fourth quarter, we are at 48.5. So I just wanted to understand that, you know, based on the order book that you have, is this run rate sustainable, or was there some bunching up of orders that happened, maybe some launches, and that has, you know, stepped up the WPI quarterly numbers? That's the first question.
Yeah, so water pack, as we said, there was a model change at some key customers in quarter two, and that volumes have since then come back, and that is the reason why we have grown revenues. Also, in quarter four, we added some new products in water pack, where we are in a very strong position, and that will lead growth. So coming back to, is this the trend going to continue? Yes, definitely that trend is going to continue, because as I mentioned earlier, they are they are in a niche position in terms of the customer connect that they have. It's a very stratified segment. Not many companies have the capability that water pack has, and in fact they're quite unique in that sense. So the run rate for this company also is going to be similar to what we said overall for SES. So 1.5 times industry growth rate is what we imagine, because of premiumization trend that we see. More and more vehicles use more and more premium products rather than standard product that they would use for aesthetics.
Got it, sir. And secondly, if you look at the EBITDA margins for WPI, while we've seen a very good pickup and they are now at upwards of 25%, WPI before acquisition had even higher margins, 28-29%. So can we reach there, sooner or later, or this is the new normal around 25%?
What I have said earlier is that, look, I think we have a very strong track record in terms of delivering EBITDA margins. I said that for SES, and I am saying that for water pack. So I am happy with this 25-26% sort of margin. What I am focusing now more on is growth of that business. So we want to unlock and do something similar to what we did at after the acquisition of Exotech. So the idea really is very rapidly scaled up the business. So this is exactly what we are wanting to do at Waterpack. And here the advantage is that we have products that we didn't have too much competition. So we are quite focused on growth for the moment. Margins will take care of themselves.
Got it. Sir, so on a consolidated basis, we should look at strong revenue growth and EBITDA margins around the 25%-26%. Is that the right takeaway?
Yes, that's the right thing.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the very best for the next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Choudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. My first question is with regards to the cover glass, the new technology you've been talking about. So, could you give us some, maybe I missed it, but can you give some idea regarding when are we expecting, like, what stage are we in terms of whether we are getting RFQs and all, and when can we expect these to turn into orders for the company? And second would be on the Voltas side, like, previously, I think, we were still dealing with some cases of rejection and all. So has that business stabilized fully now? Yeah, like these two questions.
Regarding the cover glass, so just to underscore, it's a very, very complicated product. It has its own timeline in terms of validation, proving, audits, and multiple audits. So we've already received RFQs, we've given prototypes, the customers like it, we've given quotations, which are under commercial negotiation. So we are in quite an advanced stage. But it's hard to give a guideline as to when the customer will award this business, because at this moment, all this is imported. But we imagine that in the first half of this year, maybe I said quarter or one quarter or two quarter, we should have the business, because that is around the time that we will start investing in this new plant also that we say. So there are phases of localization that will happen. And we hope that in the next three years or four years, it should form a significant part of our turnover moving forward. That's what I said earlier.
All right. And on the Voltas part, also on the cover glass side, just a follow-up here. What could be, like, a very brief top-down sense of what could be the possible realization in this and the kind of margins we can hope for? And then that Voltas question, whether the business has fully stabilized or are we still seeing some sort of ups and downs there?
Okay. So for the cover glass business, it is, of course, going to be a new business for us, new technology, but this is the first time an Indian company will start doing this. So margins could be low initially, because ultimately we will need to prove parts, we will do a lot of trials, parts will not be sold to the customer. So on the RMC basis, maybe we will not be where we need to be, which is our target overall for the company, but the direction is very clear. So this is a area where competition intensity is less. So I assume that in the long term, we will be able to get good profitability, phase-wise. So phase one could be lower margin, phase two could be better margin, phase three will be even better margin. So this is how it will pace out. And as with any new technology product, once you launch it, a lot of effort goes into proving, validation, internal trials, which don't earn revenue to you. So it's just learning to walk before we run. Coming back to Voltas, yes, so we have improved that business. That is what is reflecting in the increased EBITDA margin that came through for this quarter. There are new products also that are being launched, so therefore, I'm saying that 24%-26% sort of margins at Voltas is what we can expect moving forward. And the emphasis, of course, will be accelerating growth there, both in the domestic and the export market for the product and technology that we have.
Understood. So just one last question. When you say that 85% our order book covers 85% of our revenue outlook for FY 2025, so my understanding is usually in case of auto, the schedule shared by the OEMs is for the next 1 or 2 months. So when we are mentioning this order book, so what's our assumption like what kind of growth are we inputting for our end user industry?
That's what I said. 8%-10% overall growth for the industry is what we are looking at. Of course, we have some insights on specific models, so that depends on what is the OEM-to-OEM performance for different segments, because we have a very large array of products. It's not just one part that we deliver. So therefore, I would still say that 8%-10% sort of growth is what we target in OEM volumes. And our sales, as I said, is going to be a little higher because our content per vehicle is higher, and adoption of these higher content products leads to outperformance of the industry in revenue terms when you look at SGS standalone revenues. Well, not SGS consolidated revenues, sorry, not standalone.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sukriti Jiwanka from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just want to understand your product offerings and the resulting margins better. So of our current portfolio, could you highlight for me which particular products would sort of be the highest margin products? And in these offerings, what sort of traction have we got in terms of customers added, in terms of market share? Who do we compete with in the highest margin products? And how is the overall competitive intensity evolved?
So I will not be able to share with you individual product-wise margins for obvious reasons, as you can understand. But what I can say is that overall, we are not chasing volumes. We are in the area of high value-added products which add to customer appeal. So our margins are always on the higher end. So if you compare us with typical auto component companies, I think we are very well placed, far ahead of most of them, and we are happy with that. Now, these are sustainable because the competition intensity for the product that we have is not very high. So earlier in the call, I had mentioned that we have close to about 15 types of technologies that we have under one roof, from styling to delivery. And that is a basket that no other competitor in India or overseas has to offer to the customer. So when anybody thinks of styling, we are the first port of call, or that's what I would like to believe, that we are able to. We have a large workforce working on doing prototyping, and we do this pro bono for our customers to engage them and to give them a menu card of options of what products can be offered to them for specific vehicles or specific applications. So it's a very long question. Maybe you need to understand our product portfolio a little better, but overall, it's a high-margin business where volumes are growing because there's a very strong tailwind towards premiumization, and the consumer is wanting better and better products. And these are what are the trends or the tailwinds that are driving growth in our business.
Got it. That's quite helpful. But overall, if I just take a step back for the same question, roughly chrome plating would be the only product in the mid-teens margin profile, and everything else I should assume would be at company level or higher, right?
That's right, because chrome plating is a process technology. So if you have a chrome plating plant and you manage it well, you should technically be able to deliver the product. Of course, the differentiation between suppliers is that what is your customer connect? How strongly are you able to meet the quality, cost, delivery expectations of a customer, timely development, attitude, response time? So these are normal metrics that the customers track. But yes, you're right. Chrome plating, when we acquired, was a 12% margin. Last quarter, we grew it to be an 18% margin. My guidance is that it will continue to remain a 15%-16% margin. That's what you should expect, unless I change my customer mix very significantly, which we are at the moment working on to get export business into Exotech. Then those margins would be better. But for historical reasons, yes, that is the only business in the mid-teen EBITDA margin range.
Got it. Got it. And my second question is, any outlook on a slowdown in passenger vehicles? And when you give the 8 to 10% industry growth number, does this include any expectation of a PV slowdown, or was that only a two-wheeler guidance? Not even a guidance, just industry projection.
So we are a blended company, as you would see. 35-36% of our sales come from two-wheelers and 35% from four-wheelers. So it is blended. So when I say 8 to 10%, it is overall. PVs could be 6 to 7% because they grew very strongly last year. So there could be some effect of averages catching up. But we feel that new launches are going to come. But the larger trend that is driving our growth really is premiumization. So even though volumes may come down or volumes may not be maybe at 6-7%, but the content increase will be much faster, and that's what we've been addressing over the last 2-3 years. We've increased the content in the passenger vehicle from 80 rupees that we had about 4 years ago to almost 10,000 rupees now. So our volume will grow, and within the PV market, of course, SUVs are growing. They are bigger vehicles which require more number of parts, bigger parts, leading to higher revenue.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So just a question on this content. Do you track content per vehicle per se? Let's say two-wheelers, four-wheelers. If that is the case, how has that moved FY24 versus 24?
No, so there is no one answer to everything. Depending on the specific model, you have content constituted. So entry-level bike would have something, a premium bike would have a completely different set of parts. So with the competition hotting up in the high-end segment, you have Triumph, you have Harley-Davidson, and you have all these other vehicles which are now... So for us, when competition intensity increases in each segment, companies come to us to look at how to differentiate, and that's good news for us, and that's good business for us. But we don't supply all products to all models or all OEMs, so therefore it's difficult to say, overall answer your question to say how is the content increasing. It depends on vehicle to vehicle and OEM to OEM.
Got it, sir. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Hello. Yes. Thank you everyone for joining us over this call. And due to time constraint, you know, if anybody's questions have been unanswered, we are happy to answer it. You know, you can reach out to us over email or call, and we will be happy to answer that. Thank you everyone.
On behalf of GM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.